Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them once again to Hebrews chapter 11. Today we're jumping back into our series through the Bible titled The Bible, A True Story. We've actually taken a little break from our series over the last several weeks because of many different things going on and happening this summer. We had our outdoor service ourselves. We had my sister as a guest speaker that came and shared. Then last week, as we talked about already, we had our citywide worship service at the football stadium. It was amazing, again, minus the heat, of course. But today we're back, and we're jumping back into our little series within a series called Faith Is. And so the big series that we've been in for quite some time is titled The Bible, A True Story. But the little series within a series that we're in that series is titled Faith Is ... And if you were with us before the craziness of this summer schedule, you may remember that this series is based out of Hebrews chapter 11, a section of scripture that's often referred to as the Hall of Faith, a little play on the words Hall of Fame, right? This Hall of Faith, because the author of Hebrews takes some time to talk about the many men and women of God that we read about in the Old Testament. And so I titled this series within a series, Faith Is ... because I believe there are so many different aspects of faith that we can learn from these amazing men and women in the Scriptures. And just to give you kind of a little recap, because it's been a while, We started off several months ago talking about Abel and Enoch, and we talked about the fact that faith is living a life that pleases God. Then we looked at Noah, and we discovered two things about faith when it comes to Noah. The first, that faith is believing even when we can't see it. But then also, secondly, that faith is then putting those beliefs into action. And then the next week we looked at Sarah as we learned that faith is having hope when things seem hopeless. And then we looked at her husband Abraham and learned that faith is obedience even when it doesn't make sense. And then most recently we looked at Moses, who actually taught us four things over 2 weeks. If you remember, we had to spread it out because there was so much stuff we could learn from Moses here in these scriptures. But the first things were this. First, that faith is choosing God over the pleasures of this world. Secondly, we learned that faith is realizing this is not our home, right? Thirdly, that faith is persevering through difficult times. And then finally, that faith is understanding the power of the blood. And let me just say this, if you missed any of those messages, I really would encourage you to go back and to listen to them, to watch them online, because there are so many things that we can learn about faith from these amazing men and women of God. But now today, we're going to look and see what we can learn from a woman named Rahab. Some of you may be familiar with her. If you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Hebrews 11, verse 31, just one short verse. This is what it says in Hebrews 11, 31. It was by faith that Rahab, the prostitute, was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. All right, that's it, one verse today. But it's one very powerful verse. It's a verse that I believe should bring hope to all of us, right? Hope to humanity. The fact that a prostitute would be included in this list of men and women of faith. And so the question is, who is this woman, Rahab? And why would the author of Hebrews actually include her in their list of faithful men and women of God? Well, we actually read about her back in the book of Joshua. And we find that she was a prostitute that lived in the city of Jericho. And if you're unfamiliar with the story, Let me give you a little recap. Joshua and the Israelites were finally moving out to take possession of the promised land that God had promised them. This land that God had said he would give to the Israelites 40 years prior to this time, right? A land that was known to be flowing with milk and honey. But the thing is, this land was inhabited by others. And 40 years earlier, the people of Israel, they were afraid to go and take this land that God had promised to them, right? God had said, go, take it, it's yours, but they were afraid. They had said, as they went and spied on the land, that the land was definitely flowing with milk and honey, right? But the people there were too big and too scary. And so they failed to move forward. But now, 40 years later, under the command of Joshua, they're finally walking in obedience and taking this land that God had told them was theirs for the taking. And so in the book of Joshua, God is giving Joshua direction on how the Israelites should now take this land. And in Joshua 2, Joshua sends out two spies to check out this place called Jericho, this fortified city in which Rahab lived. And so I want to share with you these verses. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. I'm also going to put them on the screen this morning. It's Joshua 2, verses 1 through 14. This is what it says. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up on the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax that she had laid out on the roof. Verse 7, so the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. And we're going to stop there. So, who was this woman, Rahab? Well, she was actually a Canaanite woman, an enemy to the Israelites. And besides being an enemy to God's people, she had provided for her family there in the city of Jericho by way of prostitution. She was a prostitute. Now, this is not the kind of person that you would expect to find on the list of faithful men and women of faith, right? But her name is there. She's listed as one of the faithful. And I think that there are a couple things that we can learn from Rahab when it comes to this idea of faith. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. The first is this. Number one, Faith is believing God can redeem our sinful lives. Believing God can redeem our sinful lives. Here we have a Canaanite woman who was providing for her family by way of prostitution. And yet her and her family were the only Canaanites that survived the Battle of Jericho. How could a woman that lived in this way, a woman that hadn't been raised, right, in the Jewish culture, who wasn't an Israelite, how could she be saved? I think it was because she believed that God, the God of Israel, was big enough and powerful enough to save her and her whole family. Listen again to what she says in verses 10 through 12. "We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you." Rahab believed that God could save her and her family. And guess what? He did, right? He did. If you read on into Joshua, you'll find that her and her family were the only ones saved from the people of Jericho. Listen to what it says in Joshua 6:25. "But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day." God redeemed her and made her one of his own. And here's the cool thing. Her story doesn't end there, right? If you were to read on into the New Testament, into Matthew and the genealogy of Jesus, you would find that Rahab was the great, 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 29 times great, I went and counted it out, grandmother of Jesus, the Messiah. Faith is believing that God can redeem our sinful lives, right? And not just our sinful lives, but any sinful life. God has the power to redeem anyone. Think of the worst person in the world right now. Or think of anybody just that you know around you that you're like, oh, there's no hope for them, right? Guess what? There is hope. God can redeem them. But the question is, do we believe that? Do we believe that, right? Do we believe that God can wash away any sin? Do we believe that God can wash away our sins? As a pastor, I can't tell you how many people have told me over the years that, "Pastor, you just don't know what I've done. My sins are too bad, too horrible for God to forgive." And you know what that is? It's a lie of the enemy. It's a lie that the enemy wants you to believe. But the fact is, we serve a God of redemption, a God that can redeem our sinful lives. And if you're struggling with that truth, I encourage you to pray the words of the struggling father in Mark 9:24. When he says, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." Because isn't that where so many of us find ourselves at times, right? We want to believe. Yeah, I believe, but then we really don't believe. Lord, help our unbelief. Help us be people of faith who truly believe that you can redeem our sinful past, that you can redeem the past of some of our loved ones that have just gone off the deep end, that you can redeem the past of anyone. Doesn't matter what that sin is, right? Sin is sin to God. Even though we may categorize this sin as being like that big and this sin as being that big, to God it's sin. Sin is sin. And He is a God that paid the price for all sin so that we can be redeemed again and again and again. Because I don't know about you, maybe I'm the only one that continues to fail time and time again, right? And every time God says, get up, keep moving forward. You guys should take from Matt here, because he apparently doesn't make those mistakes like I do. Rahab believed that God could save her, right? Even though she wasn't an Israelite, even though she was a prostitute, Rahab believed that God could save her and her family. And He did it. And we need to believe that He can save us, right? Because He will. If we seek Him, He will save us. Now, I mentioned that I think there are actually two things that we can learn about the faith of Rahab in these scriptures. And so we've learned that faith is believing God can redeem our sinful lives. And the second thing I think we can learn from Rahab this morning is this. Faith is putting God first. Putting God first. It's making God our priority. Listen to what it says again in Joshua 3, verses 3 through 6. It says, so the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up to them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax that she had laid out on the roof. So here we see Rahab lies to the king of Jericho. She lies to the king. Why? Because as we read earlier, she feared the God of Israel more than she feared the king of Jericho. And because of her fear of the Lord, she chose to put God first. You see, she knew that the king of Jericho couldn't save her. She knew Jericho was going to be wiped out. He could not save her. But the God of Israel could save her, right? Now, some might say, but isn't it wrong to lie? She lied to the king. And it's true, we don't want to be liars, right? We don't want to be people who lie, but we do want to be people who put God first. I think a great modern day example of this would be the life of Corrie Ten Boom and her family during World War II. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the story of Corrie Ten Boom, but her and her family, they risked their lives by hiding Jews in their house in World War II. They lived in the Netherlands and actually lied to the Nazis again and again to save the lives of many Jews. They were a God-fearing family who knew that what the Nazis were doing was wrong. And the thing we need to understand is that sometimes our faith in God is going to display itself in loyalty to God over loyalty to others, which is putting God first, right? Little side note, there's actually a movie that came out in 1978 called The Hiding Place. It tells the story of Corrie Ten Boom and her family. They actually ended up getting caught after a period of time and were sent to a concentration camp. The movie's on Amazon Prime. I'd encourage you, if you get a chance, if you've never seen it, to watch that movie. I will warn you that it's a little sad and disturbing when you see how awful so many people were treated by the Nazis. But I actually rewatched that movie this year when I was on my study retreat back in January. And it's a great example of modern day people who demonstrated their faith in Jesus by putting God first. And so again, I think one of the questions that we need to ask ourselves is, are we putting God first? Are we making Him first in our life? Or is it another person? Or a country? Or a political platform? I think there are times when we think we're putting God first, but in reality, we're actually just putting a religious ideology first. And instead of putting God first, we're putting what we think God should have us put first. Does that make sense? Sometimes we're putting what we think should be first and not actually listening to the Lord and allowing Him to put first what we should be putting first. I know we've talked about this recently, but a verse that I've tried to make a regular part of my life, a regular part of my day, actually, especially in these times, is Psalm 139:23-24, which says this: "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." And that scripture is powerful and important because I think the only way we're going to be able to put God first is through humility, right? And humility is realizing we're not always right. Even though we think we are sometimes, even though we want to push our beliefs on others, we're not always right. And so it's really about seeking God's truth. Are we taking time to seek God's truth? Are we saying, "Lord, search my heart, know my ways. Is there anything wicked and wrong in me? Is there anything that's off? Lord, show me, help me to be humble and live the life you've called me to be." We have to be willing to listen to the voice of Jesus and let Him change our minds, change our hearts. Let Him renew us, right? From the inside out, renewing of our minds. It talks about that in the scriptures. You see, I believe learning to live in humility is what will enable us to see God more clearly, to see and know what is actually of Him and what is actually of the world. Rahab, she was a sinful woman in a land, in a city with little hope. But she saw and knew that God was the God of heaven and earth. And she put God above everything else, above the king of Jericho, above those people that lived around her. And because of that, Rahab experienced redemption in her life. Because of that, she is known today as an amazing woman of faith. And I believe she helps us to see that faith is putting God first and believing God can redeem our sinful lives, right? Do we believe these things? Do we have this kind of faith? This is the faith that God wants us to experience in and through Him. And I think it starts by us being humble and saying, "I don't know everything. Lord, teach me your ways." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you again just for this time to gather, to worship, to seek you, to allow you to speak to us, Lord. And again, my heart and desire is that we would have ears and hearts that are open to hear what you want to speak to each of us, Lord. What is it that you're speaking to each of us as individuals today, Lord? May we receive those things. May we allow those things to stir in our heart and help us to become more and more like you. That's our desire, Lord. Teach us how to walk in humility, to realize that we're going to make mistakes, to realize that we don't have all the answers. And even sometimes those answers that we think we have right may not always be right, Lord. And so help us to be people who come before you humbly, saying, Lord, search my heart. Know my ways. Are there any wicked things in me? Help me to live your life everlasting. And so, Lord, we give you this word this morning. We give what you want to speak to us, Lord. May it impact us. May it challenge us. May it make us better in and through you. We thank you for these things. We give you these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.